Starnes Lord here, Guardians of the Geekery, episode 246. And we talk about Shingles, Zombies Ate My Homework by John Hartness. You've got to listen to this episode, but I do have to warn you, this really is explicit episode due to the subject matter. You just have to listen to this episode and listen to us talk about it. If you've read the book, please give us your feedback over at Guardians of the Geekery on the Facebook page, or reach out to us other social media ways or in person. And don't forget about the Geek Gala coming up Saturday, November 3rd. We'll see you there.
Podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnes Lord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Does somebody have the shingles?
First off, it's somebody's birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tiffles. Happy birthday to you. You're 40.
Thank you. No, I'm not. No, really, I'm not.
And it's your actual birthday as we record this. Amazing.
Yay! It is. And on Thursday, when everybody hears it, it won't be, but still.
It still will be.
It'll linger on.
My birthday month is the whole month. Wow. Sorry, Matt.
I know. What? You should have seen her at Matt's birthday trying to take all the glory.
Like, at my birthday that's upcoming, I'm going to have different Mexican food.
I thought it was weird you took the sombrero off me and, like, wore it. I thought it was like, that was a little aggressive.
Yeah.
It looked better on me.
Yeah. And, you know, the Mexican waiters are not door prizes for you to take home.
It was cute, guys.
It was not gift with proof of purchase. All right. So, speaking of porn...
Okay.
It's book week. Woohoo! And we would like to put in an advanced warning. If you haven't figured it already, this is not suitable for young children.
That's right.
It's probably not suitable for old children either.
No children, please.
It's not 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
I would have said no to that.
But, you know, titty cat lounge. So... So we read the Shingles book by John Hartness. And what's the name of it? Oh, my gosh.
Is it Zombies Ate My Homework?
Yes. Zombies Ate My Homework.
Sorry, John.
I'm sorry.
I saw this look of fear
eating cake, so I couldn't be like...
The Shingles book by John Hartness, and your face just looked more and more frightened. And
I'm like, the sugar from the birthday cake went straight to my head, and I was like, all I remember is Benoit balls. So this is a novella. It's something available through a group of writers that have actually decided that they were going to write a Goosebumps style book
for adults.
So it's about teenagers, but it's for adults. Yeah. So if you remember and loved those style of books back when you in the 80s, this is an adult version for you. So it's only 75 pages. It's a quick little read. And... it's about a group of seventh graders that have gone on a field trip, and halfway through, the bus breaks down because they realize they're under attack of zombies. Zombies! So.
And the only place for them to hide?
To escape to?
It's not technically a porn store. It's more a sex toy store.
Sex toy shop, but it does have a...
It does have a porn section.
In the back.
Yeah.
With socks. You can beat off there.
Yeah, they supply socks.
Oh, dear. I will say, the interesting thing is stories where, like in the past, like you would see a zombie story, And they didn't know about zombies before. So it was like, it was new in their world, at least. They didn't have a knowledge of zombies. So it's like, oh, what do we do? And you generally don't know what to do. Whereas now, like this story and a lot of other stories, it's they know about the pop culture of zombies. They think they have this idea how to kill them or hurt them and protect themselves. So it's still very shocking, but I mean, I don't think it's much, you know, it's like they have the knowledge of, they know to hit the brainstem, and it does work when they do that. Yeah. And so
it's immediately, it's a zombie apocalypse. Let's go do the head bashing thing. Yeah. Well, everybody grab a dildo.
They started off with, please be quiet. That didn't work very well. So, yeah, like nobody scream, and then everybody screamed, and then the zombie turned their head.
Yep.
And eventually the rest of their body.
Did I read it wrong? I feel like they were, so, you know, like you said, they're on the bus on the way to the museum on the field trip. And I feel like they got to a point where everybody was quiet. And then just out of nowhere, the teenager driving the bus screamed.
He had headphones on and he wasn't paying attention.
Oh, okay.
So he made a run for it.
And he screamed, and when he screamed and ran out the door, and the only adult that they, quote-unquote adult they had, was gone, because the teacher chose not to ride on the bus with them, then they panicked and screamed, and half of them ran out.
And more than half, because you only have like four or five that make it through.
Well, there was more, because they were up on the roof, but then, bad things just happened.
I will say, I didn't really care for that movie with Brad Pitt about the zombies, the
World War Z.
I loved that one.
I didn't care for that, but I do like Brad Pitt had a good line, and it was something that made a lot of sense. He's like, I've been to these type of situations all over the world. You've got to keep moving. If you don't keep moving, you die. And it's like, it's the same thing when people are sitting there going on top of the bus. I'm like, no.
No.
And that's like Rick, you know, trying to stay in the tank. It's like, no, no, you can't do these things. You've got to keep moving, even if you don't think it's safe. You can't
stay on the farm all season.
You've got to run. You're not safe. It's just, you're not safe. You've got to keep moving. So,
yeah. So you meet a set of brothers at the very beginning. You find out that they're 2 years difference in age.
Todd Andy, and Andy. Yeah.
And Andy is smart, so he skipped two grades, and Todd is not, so he went back
missed a grade. Yeah.
So they ended up in the same grade together. But you start off right at the bat with normal seventh grade shenanigans. The one brother thinks that the other brother peed on him. So, and
I'm sure you saw a lot of that with three older brothers. And
no.
Okay, great. Never mind. Never mind.
They were 6 years older. I will say this, it's not fair having three older brothers because they can just continue to cycle in and out of the only bathroom that the four of us share. One gets in the shower, one's shaving, and one's going to the bathroom, and they just rotate around in a circle. And, you know, 20 minutes later, I get no hot water. But that's just me. It's not about the story. So,
luckily, you don't hold a grudge. New Year's later. Yeah.
But so perhaps they peed on each other as they rotated through. I didn't ask. So
one would hope it's before the shower.
Good point.
But yeah, so it's Todd and Andy, and then their two friends, Michaela and Tarek. And Tarek has adopted for himself the name Teabag, but he doesn't know what it means. So.
Yeah.
Todd and Andy are Toad and Anus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anus Gravy.
That's their bullies' nicknames for them. Yeah.
And then I think it was interesting. So there are two bullies, and they're trying to stay away from them. And then of course they had to make the good guy choice. Do we save the bullies? And what I thought was interesting is the fact that Patrick. Hank totally left Patrick behind.
Yeah, just ditched him,
and so then Toad and Anus had to go out and get him. So,
I think that proves that okay. So if you're a bully, even if you're with another bully, you're still a shitty person. So two shitty people, you're not going to like all of a sudden go like, I've got to save my shitty friend. You know the guy's shitty. You're just so shitty, you accept that the shitty guy hangs around you. I'm saying shitty a lot, but...
Yeah, if you're running from zombies, one of you is going to trip the other one.
Yeah.
It's just... That's
not a real friend. It's more of a convenience thing of strength and numbers, because bullies by themselves don't have a lot of power usually.
No.
Yeah. So it's... Yeah.
So what did we think about the writing overall? What do we think about the story?
I thought it was very... Okay, I love John Hartness and I do love his writing. I thought this was very deliberately juvenile.
Yes.
And
which fits
the theme.
The theme of the series.
And after a while, I thought, even at their age, these kids are going to know what some of this shit is.
Yeah, well... Yes. So one of the things about the book for sure was the fact that it was only funny if you actually are into porn.
Yeah. I mean, if you...
Because if you don't know anything about sex toys or sex shops or anything like that, you're not going
to... You're not going to know what a fisting spear is.
Yeah. You're not going to understand what that thing does. And so, why it's so terribly, terribly wrong, what the kids try to do with it. Because literally, seventh graders going in there not knowing what any of this stuff is, trying to... Well... The three didn't know anything
it was.
Michaela knew it, and the two cheerleaders.
The two cheerleaders, yeah. There was
Tiffany,
a couple,
the best character.
Yes, that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's lesbian for some reason. Well, inclusiveness. the thing, this kind of reminded me of 50 Shades of Grey. Because there's a moment in 50 Shades of Grey where she, what's her face, the Bella pseudo character, is signing a contract. And I think this is actually in the movie. I don't even know if it's in the book. But she's like, what's a butt plug? And I'm like,
it's like literally
it's
in the name.
It's the freaking name. What do you think?
It plugs your butt.
Just like when you, like, I don't have any, I'm going to put it out there. I don't have any experience with fisting spears. But like.
But you know what it is.
I know what it is.
But
based on the name.
There was the moment where the kid picks up a butt plug and he's using it as jabbing eyes out. And I'm like, how does he not know what it's in the name?
Well, the thing that I thought that was so funny was the combing the hair reference and the fact that that Elizabeth, the knowledgeable 20 something porn store
there.
Clerk working for minimum wage, just rolls her eyes at him and it's just like, oh yeah. Cause he thought he could only comb his hair once a day. And she's like, I would comb my hair all the time. And he's just like not getting it.
My cover was taking showers. I took like 3,000 showers over a weekend. And I mean, I don't know how my parents afforded it or whatever. But I mean, it was just like, it was a problem. But
yeah.
So we didn't have the nickname of combing your hair. It's like, Matt's taking a really long shower. And it's like, okay. But
the thing that was so funny when his friends were like, we all knew. Because like, dude, you said you were combing your hair and you came out and your hair still looked like that. So if you're going to comb your hair, at least comb your hair. So
I will say, like, going back to the, you know, not knowing what certain things are. I think, yeah, things like obvious, like with names like butt plug, I think I would figure it out even as a young kid. But
well, it said anal trainer on the packaging. So.
Okay. But yeah. Still, even that, you would think...
Something, but...
I think when she said butt plug, he got it.
Yeah,
so.
But I do remember, like, I knew certain swear words and stuff, and it's like, I don't even know how I knew them, but kind of in an early... Probably my dad actually fixing things. that was the only time he would curse, and I learned a lot of stuff. But I remember the first time I didn't know what flipping somebody off was. It just not happened, and I think I might have been in sixth or seventh grade, and I got off the bus, and this kid I had a fight with flipped me off. And I was just smiling, and I was just sort of doing the same thing back, not knowing. And I'm like double flipping him off. And the bus driver stops the bus and like gets out and goes, get back in this bus. And I'm like right in front of my house. And I'm like, what? What's going on? I'm just messing around with my friend. He's like, you got to get up here. So I went up and like she like wrote me out and wrote the kid. I think the kid's name was Bo and like wrote it out. And like I got wrote up and then I had to report to the principal's office. He goes, do you know what you were doing? I was like, no. And I honestly didn't. And he just laughed at me and just was like, I'm going to let it go, but that's not something you can ever do. And so he couldn't tell me, but he basically told me what it was. But it's like, that's how I learned about flipping off. And it's like, I didn't know, you know, it was a finger, but I didn't know what that meant at the time. So
yeah,
there's some things, you know, some things you don't know. And then I definitely knew after that, but yeah.
So back to the actual book.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a charming book. No, but what I'm saying is this was kind of relatable to me in some, I mean, slimly in some regards, but yeah.
Well, and you know, I think with Todd and Andy, it's a little more realistic that they may not have known because Andy was younger than the average kid.
Sure.
And Todd was not so quick, and they pointed out he had dyslexia and stuff, but also his mom wasn't around, so his dad wasn't around, so there was nobody to really teach them some of that stuff.
You'd think they'd have more time on the internet, though.
But I didn't get the impression they were well off. So, yeah. No. You know.
Yeah. So anyway. I think this type of premise works fine for a 70-page novella.
Yes.
Anything more than that, it would get very tiresome, I think.
For our age group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's who it's geared toward, because you don't want to give this to a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I think it was, that, of course, being comfortable with John's writing. And even though he moves pretty quick and he lays it out pretty straight in his books or in his, like, longer novellas, this was really fast. Like, there was a lot of information.
Agree. Like, I would say, to begin with, I started getting, like, annoyed's too strong of a word, but I was like, does everybody have a nickname? Like, where I'm like, so first of all, you didn't know their name, then their nickname and stuff like that. But I did feel, you know, you got used to it, obviously, once you established who the characters were. But it did feel like it was just sort of a young adult novel. Like, it definitely built in terms of, like, the dirtiness and the cussing and things like that. But, like, at the very base to begin with, it was like, okay, this
seems like a Goosebumps.
Like, yeah whatever, suck face. I'm mad at you. Yeah. You peed on me, man.
Like, and I honestly was really impatient at the beginning. I was like, okay, let's just get to this. But, of course, it's a very short novella, so that wish was granted, I think, 10 pages later. But still, it seemed like I was at the beginning, and I know you have to establish things, so I was like, okay, I understand what he's doing, and I needed that, but I was really impatient. And part of that might just be, I just want to see the zombies and how the sex shop works out and all that. I mean, but.
Yeah, I think for me, because John had told us what the premise was.
See, I didn't know. So, yeah.
So
I just was like, oh, okay. The zombie's going to eat some homework. Like, yeah.
I think he could have come up with a wittier title.
Look at you. Shade.
I just think that he could have come up with a wittier title. I mean, because the zombies don't eat their homework.
No, nowhere in there does he eat the homework.
There's no homework.
That's our beef with you, John Hartnett.
Maybe zombies ate my lunch.
Zombies did not eat any homework. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess they couldn't do their homework because they had to fight zombies. I mean, fair enough.
So I think that will be my review. I love the book, except for nowhere in there do zombies actually eat homework. Thank you. The end.
Add half a page where they eat the homework. Or they're feeding homework. No, like a notebook spiral bound into the, or a trapper keeper to the brainstem. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for me, being 74 pages, it went from, okay, all right. Oh, okay. Wait, it's done?
Yeah.
Dang. And I had this feeling for the first 20 minutes after I read it. I was like, oh, I want to go back. Oh, I finished it. Oh, I want to go back. Oh, I finished it.
Yeah, it was very quick.
It was very quick.
I mean, it definitely built on itself very quickly.
Its quickness worked in its favor.
Coming fast and leaving fast. Thanks.
For once, that paid off. Oh, my God. Well, I gather that the other stories by the author and Dragon's authors are kind of the similar as far as length, and they're just like little quick novellas that tie into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't feel worse off for having read it. I enjoyed it, and I'll probably check out some of the other ones.
I would recommend... I took it to Dragon Con, and then I finished it when I went to Boston the next week for a work conference. But Shine Punk, also by John Hartness, and it's the four short stories that were in anthologies about Bubba the Monster Hunter's ancestor, so Beauregard. And those are really entertaining and short, but I don't know. It's more of they kind of tie in together. So even though they're self-contained, they you kind of get an idea of the universe and how this started. So I would definitely recommend that one.
Yeah.
But.
So grades? It's homework after all.
I'd give this one a C+, B-.
Okay.
It went very quickly. It was slightly enjoyable read. I laughed a couple of times, and it didn't kill me to read it. And it, C+, B-, right around there.
I'll give it a B. I think that it didn't really start hitting for me until we actually met Tiffany, the character Tiffany, and not because she shares my name, and I'm not a lesbian, but
are you sure?
I'm sure. At this point in my life, even though I am not yet 40, I am sure. And I kind of felt like about her, like literally until the point they revealed that she was a lesbian, I was like, this could be me. Because I feel like this, I was that kid. I had HBO in my room and my dad took me freely to go see rated R movies. And like, I was this friend that he went to the movies with. And no matter how violent or dirty or whatever, it was, we would go see it. And I had no restrictions whatsoever. If the internet had existed in my youth, I would not have had parental controls in any stretch of the imagination. So I was that kid, and my parents cussed freely in front of me. I wasn't allowed to cuss myself, obviously, but like they cussed freely. And I feel like I would have been that girl that's like, come on, guys, clearly you shove this up someone's ass. So I thought that was fun. So I would give it a B. I thought it was a fun, light read.
I would give it a strong B because of Harry Hentai. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'd give it a B. I'd give one of the scenes an A plus. I'm a huge sex swing fan, and that was used in a warfare setting. Way it was just brilliant to me, and the way they described it just cracked me up. And so that was A plus to me, and my favorite scene, John. So if you want to have a spin off from that, go for it.
A spin. Awesome. Just a spin-off.
Thank you.
Sex story.
Be here
sex
all week. Yeah.
Tip your waitress. Stories. The anthology.
Zombies ate my homework too.
We're a swing, eh? Yeah.
And there they will eat the homework. So.
Oh.
Woo! Something got eaten. Anyway, hi-oh. That was Elizabeth all the time. It's like, if I'm gonna go down, at least go down getting eaten.
She's like, I don't want to get eaten that way. Huh.
I always wanted to die getting eaten, yeah, but not that way.
Yeah. John right. hired Tiffany to do the audiobook.
So, call me, I'm available.
Yeah. But she's not 40. So what other books have we been reading? Anything?
I finished up Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, which has been on my to-read pile for, I think, 4 decades. And it's actually wonderful. It's incredibly funny. It's slightly sad because it's as relevant today as it was when it was written. Then I read The Slade House, which I'm part of this group called Creepy Kindle on Facebook that sends you notifications about 99 cent horror books.
Oh.
And it's October, so I've been reading a lot of really cheap horror. And, The Slade House is actually this kind of energy vampire tale, which was actually well written and well worth the 99 cents I paid for it. And I'm about halfway through Kill Creek by Scott Hunter. This one's going on a bit long, but it's still not terrible. So, but yeah, I've been reading a lot of really just crappy horror because it's October. Well, that and, you know, great literature like Catch 22.
Nice offset. I unfortunately had a work test, so I've been reading a lot about that, but prior to that, I read a book called You by Caroline Kepnes, and it's actually, there's now a Lifetime series. I read it not knowing there was going to be a Lifetime series that was going to develop out of it, but I read that a couple months ago, and essentially it's about a guy who works in a bookstore, and a girl comes in at the beginning of the novel, and he becomes fixated on her and starts stalking her.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's not above, you know, using physical force on other people that stand in his way. It was really riveting, I have to say. Like, really, really well-paced. Super interesting. It weirdly, you're, like, rooting for him because it's completely first-person narrative. It's him. It's his mind the entire time. And it was really pretty good. And there was also, luckily, already a sequel to it called Hidden Bodies. And I would recommend that even more than the first one. I have been watching the series on Lifetime.
Oh, wow.
Just because I read the book, and so, you know, you want to see it come to life. And I wouldn't recommend that because, you know, a book is always better or almost always better than the material you would see on screen. And it's probably just a little too fresh for me, too. So I'm like, no, that's literally not how that happened. Like, he literally said these words because it wasn't that long ago. But the books are very good. The show, it's okay.
Did they get anybody interesting casting-wise for the show?
The main character, Joe, is Penn Badgley, who most notably was on Gossip Girl as Dan. Yeah, otherwise, one of the girls, like one of the friends of the main girl, is from Pretty Little Liars. But so some people you recognize. And John Stamos is showing up in this week's episode. So we got that. But
okay. What have you?
So my last book that I read was actually a graphic novel. It was the story of Book from Firefly. It was a Loot Crate exclusive. And I happened to be on there for the store. They had a vault sale going on, so I went through, and I had always wanted to read it, so I grabbed it and read it. I didn't like it.
Oh, no.
They do it in a flashback style, so it's always like, but what they tried to do was link the last panel in one story to the flashback. Of like, oh, well, this is why he's remembering this, because he ate soup here and then he ate soup 4 years ago. And
wow.
I think they were trying to push too much stuff into one. And they kept the book in sepia tones. So it's probably because I feel like we were gypped out of never getting to learn about book story. And so I think no matter what they had presented, it would have been hard for me to deal with. But I didn't like, there was too many loose ends, but I understand that their thought process was that he was always to remain a man of mystery. But then part of it, and I won't give away it, but part of it was just, I was like, nope, I'm not having that. So I'm glad I read it. I don't like the story, but doesn't mean that it wasn't well written and drawn.
Yeah.
It's just not my style.
I think that's fair, and that's tough, because even as somebody who loves Star Wars, it was just, I loved how A New Hope episode 4 was just, you're right in the middle of it and there's all these references to things and you're like, oh, there's this battle between Ben and Darth Vader, and you think you want to see that, but then when you actually got that prequel movie and you had the fight it with the lava and stuff, my imagination had just been so for years. Yeah, it was this epic, sprawling thing that would have taken like 5 movies probably, and it was just such a letdown. But and not because it wasn't cool. It was a cool fight scene, and they choreographed it really well. But it's just, there's, you know, like you're saying, there's no way it could live up to my imagination or what I had created. And I think that's, but I think it's tempting, you know, to fill in those things. And sometimes it's monetary. Sometimes it's, you know, people want to tell these stories and it's great, but there is that bonus of just letting people imagine it and filling it in themselves. And then they watch, you know, they watch the movies they have and try to piece it together. And it's just, I don't know. There's something really cool about that.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely put in scenes from the series so that you felt like it was true and valid, but you, that's what I have to say.
Gotcha.
Like they say at the end. Loot
Crate, get some better exclusives, dudes.
No, I mean, I think it. Yeah. Anyway.
I mentioned Shine Punk, and then there. I haven't been reading graphic novels, but I did start reading it through my pull list for Marvel based comics, and Marvel Comics is bringing back this. Sometimes they have like a fifth week. It happens a couple times, and sometimes people get like an extra paycheck. Well, there's a scheduling hole for a comic book, so they'll like bring back these old series, and so one of them was What If, and it was always like the title kind of says it all. Like this time it was like, what if Flash Thompson had gained the power of been bitten by the radioactive spider, and he was the bully and traditionally in the story. So this was the story, and it was, he was much more, of course, because he was a bully, that just didn't get erased. He had the powers, and he beat up opponents and didn't pull his punches, whereas Peter Parker would fight people, but he would pull his punches so he wouldn't dislocate their face and jaw and things like this. And it was just kind of interesting premise on it. And of course now it's a lot different, because Flash had become like the fifth Venom. They like captured the suit. Nick Fury had captured the suit and kind of forced it through pain to work with Flash. And Flash was actually this agent that wore the Venom suit for periods of time. So it was very odd. So you knew you had that, I had that in my head. So it was kind of interesting.
Flash Thompson, not the Flash Thompson from DC, because I got confused.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's not with DC. That's a totally different thing, but yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah,
but Flash Thompson and Flash Thompson, they actually had go over to Afghanistan in the army, and he lost his leg. So the Venom suit allowed him to have a filled in, even though it was a creepy leg, a leg when he was Venom.
Gave him a leg to stand on.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, it was kind of interesting. So I'd say track down some of those and yeah.
All right. Well, we would strongly encourage you, if you haven't, to go back and listen to David Wilson Brown.
Yes.
He's running for 10th District of North Carolina. And, you know, we also strongly encourage you to go out and vote. If you want to keep what you believe in at the forefront of your life, then you need to go vote for it. And I know it can be a little bit of a depressing time right now, thinking that your vote doesn't count, but it absolutely it does. And if it has ever counted, it's going to count at midterm elections because less people turn out. So if less of the right people turn out, you're not going to get the people in power that best represent you. So there's only one way to do that, and that's to vote for them. Go out and support them. And again, if you're not in David's district, but you want to help him, you know, he's fighting an uphill battle. He's doing a grassroots campaign against a career politician who's been in office for 14 years, never held a actual job. And so just is a little disconnected from the reality of what it's like to work a 9-to-5 position and have to try to make ends meet. Then consider, you know, David, he's working a full-time job, stomping up and down the most gerrymandered district I've ever seen in North Carolina. Yeah. Oh, it looks a little like a salamander. He's, as he said in, you know, in the previous podcast, he's put 50,000 miles on his car, which includes, you know, not being able to see his kids, which is who he's doing this for, because he wants his kids to have an America worth growing up in. So go check him out.
Yes.
And, you know, make sure you check out our books. Give them some information. And I feel like Carol's burning to say something.
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Burning to say, read.
Read.
Read. Fill your educate mind with yourself. Stuff,
even if it's sex toys.
Well.
That's right.
Except for not through the eyeball.
No, don't fill your mind with sex toys. That would hurt.
Don't try this at
home. Would hurt,
that
Warren. Would hurt.
Yes.
That's my Empire Records reference.
Nice.
All right. So happy birthday again, Tiffles. Thank you for spending it with us. We got cake.
Yay.
If you haven't bought your tickets for Geek Gala, do it.
Do it.
And we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.